Shabbos, everybody.
Good morning. We will, Mir Hashem, talk about Parshat Tzav, and hopefully a little time will allow us to talk about Parshat Zachar as well. This Shabbos is, of course, Parshat Zachar. We've been discussing the last couple of shiurim, the Shivas Yimei HaMiluyim, and the sequence of the parshios that describe the Shivas Yimei HaMiluyim, and also the mitzvahs from the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. I want to go into this in a little greater detail in light of Parshas Tzav and a number of insights of the Ramban. We should remind ourselves that the specific details of the 7 days of Miluyim and the Karbanos that were brought and the role of Moshe, the role of Aaron Ubanav, this is actually described in two different sections in Chumash. First of all, you have Parshas Tetzaveh, and that's the parsha of starting with Revi, V'zeh ha'davar she'taseh lahem l'kadeshos sam l'chahen li. And it begins to describe the various korbanos that are to be brought, and the dressing of Aaron Ubanav, and a lot of the details of what would happen over the course of these 7 days. As you know, the Ramban holds that the parashas of Truma Tetzaveh are chronologically where they are, which means that these mitzvahs and these sections of the Torah were given to Moshe when he was at Har Sinai, very, very much in the beginning, right after Matan Torah. The first set of 40 days, that's when Moshe heard about the Mishkan and heard about the Big Day Kuhun, and heard about the Shivas Yimei HaMiluyim. Now, in our parsha, we have the actual description of how this was carried out. First, it says that Hashem once again reminded Moshe, Kach es ames banavito, get everybody ready, get everything in place. And then it goes on and describes the Karbanos that Moshe went ahead and brought, and how Aaron Ubanav participated in their way. It's interesting, I'll just mention it just because it's such an appropriate thing to say. You know that tomorrow is the 25th yard site of Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, Hosek Hador, the Gadol Hador, whose impact is so great to this very day. I happen to have notes scribbled out in a little memo pad from 24 years ago when they had the first yard site gathering in Teres Yerushalayim, his yeshiva. And a number of people spoke then on that occasion. The first one was, of course, his son, Rav David Feinstein Shlita. And I was looking over those little notes that I had as a youngster, and Rav David said, among other things, the following insight into his father. He said that Rav Moshe Zatzal was born on Zayin Adar. That's why he was named Moshe, like Moshe Rabbeinu. And the week of Zayin Adar is always Parshas Tetzaveh. So that was the Shabbos after his birthday, when he was born. Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter, as you know, on Tainus Esther, on Yud Dalid Adar. It was also Hashana Me'uberes, Tavshin Mem Vav. And that year, the Shabbos that was following that, the Ptira of Moshe, was Parshas Tzav, like we have right now this year, Parshas Tzav. In that year, it so happens, Parshas Zachar was Vayikra, was the Shabbos before, and then Parshas Tzav was the following week. We have Parshas Tzav and Parshas Zachar now coming up. But Rav David pointed out that the Parsha of Tetzaveh has in it the Tzivui of Hashem about the Miguim of Aaron Ubanav. And Parshas Tzav has in it the fulfillment of the Miguim, of how Aaron Ubanav and Moshe, everyone did their part, as the pasuk ends in our parsha, Vayas Aaron Ubanav is called Dvamishat Tzivu Hashem Biyad Moshe. So Rav David said in a beautiful way that the inyan of the Miluyim is a sense of initiation, chinuch, dedication. So Moshe Feinstein, his father, he was born in the week when that was the charge that was given to Tzaveh. That is how they should, what they should do in order to become leaders, the Aaron Ubanav, this is what they ought to do, this is the tzivui. And in our parasha, you have it how it's all been carried out. So his father, Rav Moshe, was born the week of Parshas Tetzaveh, when it was all scripted how they should be, how they should initiate as leaders. And Parshas Tzav, which was the week when he was Nifter, is describing how they all did exactly what they were commanded, and they fulfilled the mission and carried it all out. That's what he... What a beautiful idea. Okay, so now I want to zero in on something, a number of things that Ramban picks up on in the language of the pasuk. If you're just coming in, there are sheets you can pick up on the table. Maybe the best way to do this is to look at some of the psukim in the various places, and then we'll appreciate much more what the Ramban is saying and how he analyzes them. So take a look on the side of your handouts where the title of the heading is Meshichas Aron Meshichas Banav. That's what I'd like to focus on. Part of the process of what went on to initiate for Aaron Ubanav to become Kohanim was that they used the Shemen HaMishcha, that was a special anointing oil whose ingredients are described in Parshas Kisisa in the very first Aliyah. And the role of Shemen HaMishcha was to inaugurate, sanctify, first of all, the Mishkan and all the various Kelim of the Mishkan. In addition to that, to anoint Aaron Ubanav. Now, we're going to look at different references in Chumash, exactly what it says about how the Shemen HaMishcha was used for anointing Aaron Ubanav. For example, let's first look in Parshas Tetzaveh. This is Perek Chavtes. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu was taught to take all the various Bigdei Kohuna and to dress Aaron. And then it says in Pasuk Zayin, you shall take the Shemen HaMishcha and you shall pour it on Aaron and you shall anoint him. Then it says, you shall bring his children close and you shall dress them as well. So, reading these psukim, the pasuk only emphasizes that the Shemen HaMishcha was poured on the head of Aaron. U'mashachto'uso. It doesn't say over here in Parshas Tetzaveh that they would pour the Shemen HaMishcha and be moshech the children. Everyone see that? That's the first place. But wait a second. That's initially. But then it goes on there in Parshas Tetzaveh. If you have the Chumash, it would be better, because then you'll appreciate something that the Ramban picks up on in a little while. So take a look further in that same Perek Chavtes. And you see, there's a later Pasuk Chav Aleph. That's what I have here on the sheet. But look at the context of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'lokachto min hadom asher al ha-mizbeach u'mishem min ha-mishcha. It says that you shall take from the blood that is on the Mizbeach, because you know, mentions that they would sprinkle right before this, it says in Pasuk Chaf, that yishechted the ayil, and it says that the dam would be sprinkled on the Mizbeach. So it says take from the dam on the Mizbeach and from the Shemen HaMishcha. We have to know what this means. It means maybe to combine them. And you shall... You shall do hazah, you shall drop on Aaron val begadav and his children and his begadav, and they shall all become sanctified with that. Now, when exactly does the pasuk have us doing this? The very next pasuk says, and it goes on and it says how you shall put it on Aaron's hands and you shall do a tenufa. And then it continues after the tenufa, it's a pasuk chaf hey, you shall take it from them and you shall burn it on the mizbeach. And then it goes on, it says you do the tenufa on the chazeh, and so on. So exactly where does it say that they would take this dam together with Shemen HaMishcha and sprinkle it on Aaron and his children and on the clothing that they were wearing? It says it sort of in the middle. They haven't yet done the haktara of the ayil. They haven't done the tenufa yet on the things that they waved, but along the way mentions that they would also take the dam and the Shemen HaMishcha and sprinkle it. So those are things we should notice from Parshas Tetzaveh. Everyone see that? So number one, it mentions earlier on, again, as we saw in Pasuk Zayin, that you shall take the Shemen HaMishcha u'mashachta, that going on Aaron. And then later it mentions to take the dam and the Shemen HaMishcha and sprinkle it on Aaron and on Banav and on their clothing, but it mentions that in the middle of the various avodos that were done, not yet having been maftir the ayil. That is one reference. Now, let's go now to Pasuk Lamed. Perek Lamed. Perek Lamed is found in Parshas Kisisa in the section dealing with Shemen HaMishkan. So after discussing and mentioning the various ingredients that went into the Shemen HaMishkan, then the Pasuk tells us in Pasuk Chavav, what shall you do with it? Umashach Tavo, Esalamoid, Vesaron Haidus, Vesashochan, Ves Kokegov, and so on, Esamnoves Kegav, Ves Mizbachak Torres, Ves Mizbachalov, Ves Kokegov, Ves Kires Kano. The Kiddash tells some Yukodish Kadashim. So it talks about how you would take the Shemen HaMishkan and anoint every part of the Mishkan, every keli of the Mishkan, going through them, right? And then it says in Pasuk Lamed, Lamed Lamed, okay? Easy way to remember this. Lamed Lamed in Shmos. Ves Aron Be'es Banav Timshach B'kidashta Osam L'chahen Li. You shall also anoint Aron and Banav. So now it says that you use the Shemen HaMishkan Umashachta on who? On Aaron and Banav, the Kiddashta Samachahenli. So we notice something of a difference. In Perek Chavtes, it mentions initially the Yatzakta only on Aaron, Umashachta also. But then later on it talks about this Dam together with Shemen HaMishkan to the Hizesa al Aaron, the al Banav. Here it mentions the use of Shemen HaMishkan and it says Timshach, the Kiddashta Samachahenli. So we have to explain this. Okay, now we have another section to look at, and see it's still in Sefer Shmos. This is all before the era of computers, and Ramban had all this on his fingertips, putting it all together, recognized the grasp that he had on everything, every part of Chumash in front of him. Perek Mem, this is now describing getting ready for the Mishkan's dedication. That's the section that we've been dealing with a little bit in the last couple of weeks. That's at Chamishi and Pikudei, Shvi Kishein Mechubarin. Perek Mem says, Bayom HaChodesh HaRishon Be'achod HaChodesh, Takim Es Mishkan Olam Moed, and so on, and you shall bring everything where it's to be brought. And then in the middle of that section, Perek Pasuk Ches over there, says, the Samtes HaChaser Savi, fine, and the Pasuk Tes. V'lokachta es shemen ha-mishcha u'mashachta es ha-mishkan v'esko ha-shemo v'kidashto v'esko kegav ha-yakodesh. You shall take the shemen ha-mishcha and anoint the mishkan. U'mashachta es mizbach ha-olo v'esko kegav, mashachta sakiyo v'eskano, and so on. So mentions mishicha and the mishkan and kegav. And then, v'kravta es aron v'es banav ha-pesach ha-omod v'ochatzto sam v'moyim. And you shall wash aron u'banav and you shall dress aron with his clothing. U'mashachta u'so v'kidashto u'so v'chihen li. You shall anoint Aaron, and he shall serve as Kohen. Pasuk Yudalid ves banav takriv, and you shall dress them. Umashachta usam pasuk tezvav kashem mashachta savihem v'chi hanuri v'hoisal yosrem mashchasam uchunas alam udorosa. So this perek Mem in Shmos describes using the Shemen HaMishkan first for Mishichas Aaron, and then continues and tells us to do Mishichas Banav. Clear. Whereas we did not see that explicitly in Shmos, in Perek Chavtes. It just tells us that we should dress the children. It doesn't mention the Mashiach of the children. Although later on it mentions this Hazah, so we have to consider that as a possibility. But it doesn't mention initially to do a Mashiach on the children. Then you have in Perek Lamed, it mentions Aaron v'es banav timshach, and here in Perek Mem it mentions explicitly you shall do them to them the mishicha kashem mashach desavihem. Another thing to notice in Perek Mem is a sequence. When were Aaron u'banav dressed? So it says in Perek Mem that first it talks about anointing the mishkan and kelav, and then it says in pasuk yud gimel, after it already tells you that Moshe is told to anoint the Mishkan and Kelav, then it says you shall dress Aaron and anoint him. And then it says you shall dress his children and shall anoint them like you anointed the father. So it mentions the dressing of Aaron after the Mashicha of the Mishkan v'Kelav. Everyone see that? You have to hold cup here, right? Let's go to Sefer Vayikra. And now we have our parsha. Two more selections, okay? This is our parasha, Vayikra Perek Ches. Okay, we all know how the Perek begins. Hashem tells Moshe, get everybody here, gather everybody together, bring all of what you need to bring. Everybody gathers. Moshe does as Hashem tells him. Moshe says, this is what Hashem has instructed. And it says in Pasuk Vav that Moshe brought Aaron a bun of clothes and he washed them. Then it says that he dresses Aaron. Goes through each of the begadim. There are details here with the begadim, the Seder Levisha, that's a separate discussion. We're not going to be able to get into any of that. But there's discussions about that too. If you begin to notice what it mentions first and so on, you also notice some discrepancies. The Sugis and Yuma discussed this, the beginning of the Yuma. Anyway, moving on. Vayikach Moshe es Shemen HaMishchah. So now, it already mentions Aaron was dressed by Moshe. Then it says, Pasuk Yud, Moshe took the Shemen HaMishchah and he anointed the Mishkan and Kol HaShebo by Kadeshel son. So that's mentioning it when? After Aaron was dressed. Then it says, he sprinkles on the Mizbeach 7 times. That is something new. That's something that Rashi wonders, where do we see this in Parshas Tetzaveh? The Ramban has an answer to it. You can look up that Ramban that I didn't copy for you. You can look at that Ramban as well. Interesting discussion. Where do we see that he's to sprinkle on the Mizbeach 7 times? Okay, with the Shemen HaMishcha. But then it says, after that, Vayitzok Mishemen HaMishcha Al Rosh Aaron Vayimshachu Soli Kadesho. Okay, so now we have Aaron's anointing. When is it mentioned? Right after the anointing of the Mishkan Vekela and the Mizbeach. He's already been dressed from before. Unlike the earlier section that we saw, after it mentions the Perek Mem and Shmos, Pasuk, Tsukim Tes, Yud, Yud Aleph, that you already anointed, he already anointed the Mishkan and Caleb, he's told to do that. Then it mentions that Aaron is dressed. Here it mentions Aaron is dressed earlier. Right? Notice the difference. And what about the Bnei Aaron's Meshicha? Vayakri Moshe's Bnei Aaron, Vayalbishim Kutanos, Vayachkoro Samavne, Vayachavoshrem Mikbaos. He dressed them. Kashet Shivashem is Moshe. And then the next pasuk goes on and says how he began to offer the karbanos. So what seems to be missing here? The Meshicha with Shemen HaMishcha on Bnei Aaron. Everyone see the issue, right? And then you have the later Psukim, that Moshe took the Shemen HaMishcha. This is the Perek Ches Pasuk Lamed. This is on Shvi of Parshas Tzav. He took the Shemen HaMishcha and the Dam on the Mizbeach, and he sprinkled on Aaron and his clothing, and so too the children and the clothing. This is parallel to what you have in Tetzaveh, Perek Chaf Tes, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. But notice something else, the positioning of this. Whereas in Tetzaveh, we pointed out, it's mentioned that he would take the dam in the Shemna Mishcha. It says it before they were Maktir, the Karban, before they did the Tenufa. Take a look over here. Where does it appear? Perek Ches Pasagam. You have to have the Chumash to appreciate this. It mentions earlier in Pasuk Chav Zayin that they did a Tenufa, and it says in Pasuk Chav Ches that Moshe took it from them and offered it on the Mizbeach. And then it mentions he did the Tenufa of the Chazeh, and after the various Tenufos and the Haktara, then it mentions, the last thing it mentions is in Pasuk Lamed, that Moshe took the Shemen HaMishcha and the Dam and sprinkled on Aaron and Begadav. Notice the difference. In Parshas Tetzaveh, it mentions it earlier on. So we have a number of issues kind of floating here that we have to address, and Ben is going to address every one of them that we brought up. Again, the nature of the Meshicha of Bnei Aaron, exactly what was done, and when Aaron was dressed, vis-a-vis the Meshicha of the Mishkan V'Kelev, and exactly when the Dam and the Shemen HaMishcha were sprinkled on Aaron of Begadav, the Hazah that we have from the Shemen HaMishcha and the Dam, and the difference between the two sections. Okay? Everyone ready to go through the Ramban? Let's go. So So the first Ramban, Perikhes Pasuk Yud. The Pasuk says, after telling us how he dressed Aaron, it says Moshe took the Shemna Mishcha and he anointed the Mishkan, and then it goes on and says he spilled on the Mizbeach from it, Vayazal Mizbeach, and then it says that he spilled it on Aaron. Says Ramban, Gamze Asa Moshe Beseder Nachal. Moshe did this in a very logical way, logical sequence. He came to Tzava the Masa Hashemet. Because this is where it seems when he was originally commanded in the parsha of Shemen HaMishkan, Kisisa, what does it say over there? U'mashach tavo esol ha-moed, and so on. And right after mentioning that you are Moshech Aaron with the Shemen, I'm sorry, you Moshech the Ol Moed and the Mishkan, it says, Be'es Armes Banav Timshach. Right away, after mentioning the Mashiach of Mishkan V'Kelov, it mentions Mashiach's Aaron U'banav. Therefore, he wanted Aaron to be fully dressed already, right after, so that right after the Mashiach HaMishkan, he can proceed right then to be Moshech Aaron, not have to interrupt it with dressing Aaron. So that the one who's being makriv, the symbol of that krab is Aaron, he's ready to serve immediately. There is no interruption. In other words, the Mishkan is dedicated now, the Mishkan is anointed, and then Aaron is anointed right away and pretty much ready to go. Now you'll ask me, so what about the children? The children were not dressed yet. It says further that then it says he dresses the children. V'hayadai ba'aron shehu kedosh Hashem. So what does the Ramban mean? The message of connecting the Mashiach's Aaron and Mashiach's HaMishkan V'Kelov, it's sufficient to do it with Aaron, not to have that interruption, in order to show that everything is ready to go. As soon as you're Moshech the Mishkan, you're Moshech Aaron, everything is ready to go. The truth is, I mean, let's explain a little better what could be implicit in what Ramban is saying. You see, on a practical level, What day are we talking about? The Rabban is assuming you were talking about each of the Shivas Yimei HaMiluyim. So the truth is, Aaron Ubanav, none of them served until after that, until the Shemini HaMiluyim. So practically speaking, they were not yet finalized in their ability to work. But it's more of a symbolic idea. In other words, each day was another tier in conferring the status on Aaron and Banav. So the point is that once you can juxtapose Mashiach's Aaron with Mashiach's HaMishkan, then you've already made the point that there's an inherent connection, and from the Mashiach's HaKelim and the Mishkan comes right away Mashiach's Aaron ready to work. So once that point is made with Aaron, Kedosh Hashem, the point is already valid. But anyway, practically they couldn't work yet. So that's what Ramban is saying. So it's an interesting thing. So it comes out, you didn't want to interrupt with dressing Aaron after the Mashiach's HaMishkan V'Kelov, even though you did interrupt with Mashiach's, with Levisha's HaBanim. The Ramban asks, what about the Pasuk in Perek Mem Shmos? There it mentions that after the Mashiach's HaMishkan V'Kelov, it mentions the dressing of Aaron. Afo b'shikas of mitzvah sakomas HaMishkan in Perek Mem Shmos pasuk tes mashachtas hamishkan, and then it says v'kraftas anves banav v'rochasta osam b'moyim v'hilbashta es aron kisham histir kohanas el aron ubanav ka'achas. There, we're not talking about the literal chronology. We're talking about simply organizing. Okay, this is what happened for the Mishkan. This is what happened for Aaron ubanav. So the fact that Aaron was dressed before the Mashiach's HaMishkan, that doesn't get into that details. It tries to tell you conceptually, logically. Okay, there was a Mashiach of the Mishkan V'Kelov. There was a Levishas Aaron Ubanav and a Mashiach's Aaron Ubanav. So it's organizing it just by grouping together the separate Aaron Ubanav and what happened for them and what happened for the Mishkan V'Kelov. But here we're talking about exactly what happened when it happened, and that's when the Torah tells us exactly how it happened, that Aaron was already fully dressed, ready for his Mashiach, before you began the Mashiach on the on the Mishkan V'Kelah. This is the position of the Ramban. Not everybody agrees with this, by the way. The Ibn Ezra, for example, the Ibn Ezra says, V'yikach Moshe Shemen HaMishcha means he had already taken it from before. So that it really lines up with the pasuk in Parshas Tetzaveh. In any event, this is the Ramban's way of working out the psukim here in the beginning of the section of Parshas Tetzaveh in the Miluyim. Now, what about the nature of Mashiach's banav? It doesn't seem to say that he was Moshech banav here. It just says Vayimshach Osolukatsha. What about the children? Says the Ramban in the next piece here. V'lohizkir b'kan Mashiach's banav kibyadua sha'asa lehem kasha'asa la'avihem kashenitztava, as it says in Shmos Perek Mem, Moshachto sam kashen moshachtas avihem. So it doesn't have to tell you everything. Of course he did it. The kol al zeh, where is it even alluded to that he did it? The mesh amar b'banim in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Take a look at Pasuk Yud Gimel here. Perek Ches Pasuk Yud Gimel. It says Moshe brought close B'nai Aaron. He brought them closer to him and he dressed them. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. So what the Torah is alluding to in those words, Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, means that plus more. What we just mentioned plus, self-understood, the Mashiach as well. So it doesn't mention explicitly that he did a separate Mashiach for the children after he dressed them, but it's alluded to in Kasher Tziv Hashem Es Moshe, because it says earlier that you should be Moshech them Kasher Mashach Des Avihem. So therefore, that is one pshat in the Ramban. So there was a Mashiach on the children, which just does not actually say explicitly, it's hinted to. However, the Ramban suggests another pshat. V'anir be'enai. Let me suggest, Ramban is generally like this. He'll give you numerous possibilities. Throw out numerous possibilities. He might give you a sense that he prefers one over the other, but he builds up. That was one pshat. V'hanir be'enai, suggesting the Ramban, another idea. Ki lo haisa mashichas habanim b'yitzikas shemen al rosham. Ki lo nema ze'el ba'aharon. What does it say? By arm v'yotzakta al rosho u'mashachta oso. V'lo hizkir sham mashichas habanim klal. Why doesn't it mention the Mashiach's Habanim in Tetzaveh, Shalohaisa b'yitzika kamohu. Yitzika means spilling it, pouring it over him. Yatzak is to pour down. Mashiach is to smear. So what the Ramban is suggesting now is what Aaron had over the children was he had yitzika of Shemen HaMishcha. The children had only what? Only Mashiach. Okay, second idea. Another possibility, v'yitachein, very interesting, the Ramban is working, you know, one possibility, another one, and a third possibility. Shelohaisa b'banim mashicha zulasi ha-hazaos shehiza mishemen ha-mishcha ala banav v'al bigdehem. That was the later pasuk, in pasuk Lamed, that we saw that he took the dam of the Mizbeach and the Shemen ha-mishcha, and he did hazaah. So this is what happened for the banim. The mashicha that the Torah refers to, In the various places that does mention Mashiach for the children, it mentions in the Kisisa and in Bikudei, it's not spilling, it's not Yitzika, it's not even Mashiach in the sense of smearing, rather it's specifically about the Hazah that you find he did actually sprinkle Hazah, not smearing and not pouring, but sprinkling from the Shemen HaMishcha with the Dam. And that's the Mashiach that's referred to by the Banim. Zulasi ha'azol shehiza b'shemen ha'mishcha al bana ve'al bigdeyem, which was also done for Aaron too, but it was done for the children. That's all they had. V'chein tir'eh b'parashas v'zeh adobah shetasam kashir son in parashas miluim of Tetzaveh shetziva l'mshoa ha'av. It says over there, v'lokachta shemen ha'mishcha v'yatzakta al rosho v'lo tziva l'mshoa ha'banim klal lo b'yitzika v'lo b'mashicha. Not filling and not anointing, not smearing. Avo b'pashas hakomas hamishka, that's in Pikudei, Omer, u'moshachto, sam kashem moshach desavihem, but over there, lo his kisham hazos klav. So what it means by moshachto, some means with the hazos. V'chein b'pashas hashemen, that's in Kisisa. V'lo huzkiru mashicha v'hazos b'bani b'mokom echa, never mentions in one place a mashicha and hazah. L'chein ani omer, sounds like this is what he ends up saying, So we have three possibilities suggested by the Rabbi. Number one, he did a Meshicha for the children. It just doesn't spell it out. It's alluded to Kashat Tziva Shemes Moshe. Second possibility is Aaron had Yitzika, and they just had Meshicha. Third possibility is they only had the Hazos that are described later on. There are Midrashim that support this last Pshat of the Rabban and Kachani Omer. But these are the three Mahalchim in the Ramban and how he tries to work it out with the Pesukim. There is one more Ramban we should look at. That's what the Ramban was just alluding to here in the one we just read. So exactly what was it that was sprinkled? It says he took the Shemen HaMishcha and he took the Dam. Lo yadati im ma'arvan lazos halolu kimo v'lokach midam apar midam asayiv nasana kenosa mizbeach. Okay, so what is his question? Was it a separate hazah of Shemen HaMishcha and a separate hazah of the Dam? Or did he mix them together? Where do we find another place where the two things were mixed together and there was hazos done of the mixture? So the Ramban quotes us from the pasuk v'lakach midama par midama so'ir v'nasana akarnosa mizbeach. Who can tell me where it says that? What's that referring to?
Yom Kippur,
right? There was hazos of the dam hapar in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, achas mal sheva lamata, and then you have on the other side, on the Hechel side of the Paruchas. The same thing with the Sayyid. And then after that it says that he took from the two of them, he mixed them together, and he did Hazos on the Karnas of Mizbeach and seven on the top of the Mizbeach HaPenimi. So you see that sometimes you can mix together different things and then you do Hazah from the mixture. So maybe that would be the Pshat over here. He's not 100% sure, but possibly that it was Hazah from the Shemen HaMishcha together with the Dam. Okay, that's one point. Another point is the sequence. V'chein lo nisbar li matam icher hazos halogu la'achar haktorah shel miluyim. Why it mentions here these hazos after the haktorah? Ki betzava'a, that's in Parashas Tetzaveh, by the commanding of the section of the miluyim, hikdim hazos v'achar kachom v'lakachta minu'ay v'chein v'aliyah and the haktorah. So how come Moshe switched the order? V'ulai, maybe Moshe understood it from the way that it was communicated to him back in Parshas Tetzaveh. Ba'avur she'omar sham, it says over there, after mentioning these hazos, the kadash hu uvgadav uvanav uvgdei vanavito, that he and the children, he and his Aaron and his garments, and the children and the garments will be quote-unquote kadosh, sanctified. Lamad Moshe, ki hu adavar ha'me'ucha ha'nasa behem, that this is the last thing that was done, the final Makabe Patish, the last thing that brought about, conferred the Kedusha. Shebo yu kedoshim ligamre. That this would be the last thing that would give them the full measure of Kedusha. Ki lo hizkir sham b'meshicha kadosh v'lo b'matan bahonos. It doesn't mention in the connection to the Meshicha, the initial Meshicha that is, by Aaron, or the matan bahonos, doesn't mention Kedush, that they became kadosh, sanctified. So therefore, what did Moshe understand? That the thing that conferred the Kedusha, the last thing, that after this is nothing more, you have the Kedushas conferred, was these Hazos of the Shemna Mishcha and the Dam. What it says over here, V'kan Omar V'yimshach Oso L'kadosho, that's Pasuk Yud Beis. This is when Aaron gets the Meshicha. This is much earlier on, before the Karbanos. So how could it say L'kadosho? Either Kedusha didn't come until later on with the Hazos, because that's how Moshe knew to delay the Hazos to later. It says L'kadosho. The Pshat is, this is what it means L'kadosho. Lo she'yikadosh l'gamri ad she'yasa Hazos. In other words, L'kadosho, that there will be a Kedusha that will ultimately be conferred, but it doesn't actually, what actually confers the Kedusha? The mixture, the Hazos that were made from, let's say, the mixture of the Dam and the Shemen HaMishcha. V'omar v'hen v'yikadosh es Aaron v'es banav. This means the last time. In other words, what's the pasuk say? Vayikadesh es Aaron es bigadav, and pasuk lamed. V'hinei hishrim kedushas ha'av v'abonim ka'achas b'azos ha'lohu. So the last thing that fully completed the kedusha of av and banim was the azos that were done together, the av and the banim. V'chein om v'tos kohanim v'kadesh Aaron ha'lomatos shalosh shalim Kiddush Aaron Abanav El Bazosta. What I find interesting in all of this, so there's a lot of chazi here, a lot of cheshbin. I'm sure it's still new just to work out the cheshbin, look at the psukim again. It's, you know, if you're not holding the psukim, it's hard to keep everything in mind. But the Ramban is addressing numerous issues of trying to work out when things happen, what happened exactly, and so on. But okay, the main issue is, again, what? When Aaron was dressed, and when what exactly happened to the children in the form of Mashiach, and exactly what when the hazos of the Shem, the Mishcha, and the Dam took place. Again, how to reconcile with the various psukim. Something which I think is important to consider, and this is what opens the door for other pirushim, such as the Netziv and the Malbim. You see, the Ramban is talking about the Shivas Yimei Amiluyim here. So he's assuming that all these psukim that we have, starting with Tetzaves, of course, Shivas Yimei Amiluyim, and Tzaves, Shivas Yimei Amiluyim, but also the Parashin Kisisa of the Shemana Mishcha, that mentions the Mishicha of Aaron Ubanov, and so to Parshas Pekudei, which mentions Mashicha of the children as well. The Ramban seems to see that also as referring to Shivas Yimei Miluyim. What could be conceivable here is that maybe not. Maybe there's a difference between what happened to the children during Shivas Yimei Miluyim and what happened on Shmini Miluyim. Maybe what the Torah is describing in Kisisa and also in Pekudei is what went on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. In other words, the Mashiach took place over 7 days, but it also took place on the 8th day, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And it could be that then that Aaron Ubanav had Mashiach, Bnei Aaron had Mashiach only on Yom HaShmini, but not on the previous 7 days. So on the previous 7 days, Parshas Tetzaveh and Parshas Tzav doesn't mention Mashiach and the children because they didn't have Mashiach for the 7 days. But when it mentions Mashachta Osam Kashem Mashachta Saviyem, that means that they received a Mashiach on Yom HaShmini. And it could be, therefore, that the Mashiach of the Mishkan V'Kelev, right, was happening on each of the 7 days and also on the 8th day. And there is one more pasuk which I didn't have place to quote for you here, but I'll just, considering this issue, it's the pasuk in Parshas Naso, the beginning of the section of the Nisiyim. The first pasuk over there says the following: Vayhi b'yom kalos Moshe lahakim es hamishkan. Moshe finished being making the mishkan, meaning he was doing it for 7 days, and now he's finishing the hakama. And how does the pasuk there continue? Vayimshach oso. So it could be that the Mashiach that is described here, he's finishing everything, but he's doing Mashiach on Yom HaShmini as well. So it comes that if there was Mashiach on Yom HaShmini as well, we could start separating between Aaron and Banav, in the sense that Aaron received Mashiach for all 7 days, and maybe also on Yom HaShmini. But the Bnei Aaron only got their Mashiach on Yom HaShmini. This is what the Malbim assumes and the Netziv as well. And then it would answer some of these Diyukim in the Ramban in a different way. And the last thing to consider in all of this is that Ramban says that the final thing that conferred the status of Kedusha was the mixture of the Shemen HaMishcha with the Dam. But what do you mean the final thing? But they were doing it for 7 straight days. Because what's in Tetzaveh and Tzav was done each of the 7 days. So how do you say that this was the final conferring of the Kedusha, but you're doing it again tomorrow, and you're doing the whole thing again tomorrow? It went on for 7 days, the same sequence, the same avodos, and the same hazos. So if it's already done, so what is the shayach the next day? So what do you understand? How do you understand for the Ramban that the final Kedusha, it's like, you can almost imagine that there's 7 levels of Kedusha. And each level of Kedusha was completed with the Hazos. I would say something along those lines, but you have to explain it. In other words, for what that day's Kedusha conferred, and it's a certain dimension, just like there's in Kabbalah, Dua, Gvura, Teferis, Netzachot, Shemayim, right, Malchus, that's, you know, the idea of 7. Choshem, Dua, Gvura, Teferis, Netzachot, Kichob, Hashem, Choshem, HaMamlocha. 7 spheros, the 3 higher spheros, but then the 7 spheros, Chesed, Gvura, Teferes, Net, Netzach, Hod, Yisod, Malchus, right? So I mean, I'm not, this I didn't see anywhere. I'm just thinking aloud with you. So Day number one, she's Miluim, that was the Bechin of Chesed. Kedusha Shebechesed, Chves. So then that's the completion of that tier of Kedusha. And then you have the second day. So there is a completion on the level that that day represented. I'm just considering the past. Otherwise, what does it mean? The Kedusha was conferred and you go through the same thing the next day. All right, this is one inyan. Okay, now, on the other side, I'll speak out the Ramban, and then I'll maybe we'll spend a little time to talk about Zohar. Okay, just before the section in Tzav of the Miluyim, you have a couple of psukim here, as you have on your sheets. Zos, after the mitzvahs of Pasha Tzav, it says, Zos mishchas ar mishchas banav, me'ishi Hashem b'yom hikruv sam b'chahim l'Hashem, asher tziva Hashem ras Yisrael b'yom mashchol sam me'eis b'nei Yisrael. So what does it mean that Hashem commanded on the day that he anointed them to give them? They only get these karbanos b'yom mashchol sam? That's one question. So the Ramban has two ways to read that. The Ramban first, he quotes his own pshat, is Hashem commanded them on the day that they were anointed. Now, why does it mean the day? They were anointed for 7 days. Remember, whatever you want to call the Mashiach, the Ramban's view is that the Bnei Aaron were anointed for 7 days, whether that means Hazah for 7 days, whether it means Mashiach, not Yitzika, whether it's understood that they got Mashiach, it doesn't say, but what's B'yom? The answer is Be'es HaMashiach. Yom doesn't have to mean a day. Yom means a time period, a unit of time. V'chein b'yom hikriv v'samachahein means the time, kasher v'dilam. So Hashem commanded, these are the kabbalas they should get. Hashem decreed all this during the period that they were anointed, period of time. Rabbi Avram says b'yom hashchosam, but the tzivoy, not that they should get it then. Hashem commanded on that day. And then b'yom hashchosam, the B'nezer says from that day and on. Okay, now, the next Ramban is on the next pasuk. Zos haTorah lo amecha laz hasham. These are the laws of the various karbanos. Asher tziv Hashem es Moshe b'har Sinai, b'yom tzavosos b'nei Yisrael, lekav mitzkabnei Hashem b'har Sinai. This pasuk mentions Har Sinai and Midbar Sinai. Hashem commanded in Har Sinai on the day he commanded b'nei Yisrael to bring their karbanos b'midbar Sinai. What is b'midbar Sinai going on? On the tzivoy of Hashem, on the beginning of the pasuk, on the receiving their karbanos. And why mention in the same pasuk Har Sinai and B'midbar Sinai? So that Ramban will speak outside of three pshatim. One pshat is what Chazal tell us, that every one of the mitzvahs that were taught from Ohel Moed were originally taught in the same way, to the same degree, with all the details, Pratav v'Tiktukah, from Sinai as well. When Moshe Rabbeinu was Har Sinai the first 40 days, he didn't just receive the mitzvahs that are mentioned, let's say, in Truma Tetzav, beginning of Kisisa. And he didn't just receive the rest of the Torah on a general way. He received the entire Torah with all its details. That's the view of Rabbi Akiva in Torah's Kohanim. That's the Rashi beginning of Bahar as well, as you know. And therefore, that's the meaning of this pasuk, that the mitzvahs Hashem commanded were all in Har Sinai. And then it says the Midbar Sinai means they were repeated in Midbar Sinai. Ramban assumes not all were repeated, some were repeated. Nishnu mehen ba'olam moed. I mean, B'midbar Sinai is a reference to Ohel Moed. So the mitzvahs of Karbanos were among those that were repeated also. But all of these details, from Vayikra until here, were already taught to the same degree at Har Sinai. By the way, that's Rabbi Akiva's view. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. Rabbi Shmuel says that the mitzvahs were Koloseyan Misinai, Protean were Ohel Moed. That is one pshat. The other pshat, second pshat of the Ramban is, B'Har Sinai means basic, V'alderach HaPshat, it means like this. Some of the Kabbanos were taught by Har Sinai. Because in Pashas Tetzaveh, they were given the details of the Miluyim. So certain Kabbanos of Miluyim, they had to know already the laws of those Kabbanos. So what with that? That would mean Ola, Chatas. That was taught. And Miluyim, that was taught by Har Sinai. But what about Asham, Shlamim? That was B'midbar Sinai. Ramban is now going with the view. Now, not everything was taught in Har Sinai, Kolosami Sinai, but details were afterwards in Midbar Sinai. So here, it's going like this. Some of these Karbanos, we had Zos HaTorah, Olo, Amincha, Ochaz, Vashem, Ashram, and Miluim. So among this list, some of them were taught the laws in Har Sinai, and some because those things that were by the miluyim, the chatas, and the ola, and the miluyim, that was by Har Sinai. And the others were by Midbar Sinai. And finally, the Rabban has another pshat. Har Sinai really means nothing more than lifnei Har Sinai, meaning by Olam Moed. And it, everything is going on Olam Moed. And he brings another pasuk like that, Olas Tov Asliya Bahar Sinai, means in front of the mountain, because that's where they were living until they journeyed in Chaf Iyar. Okay, you can look at the details. That, those are basically the three pshatim in the Ramban, how to work out the two expressions here in the pasuk. Okay, we have Parshat Zachar. We know that the halacha says that we should be yotzei this, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, we should be yotzei this mitzvah by listening to a reading of Kriyas HaTorah from a kosher Sefer Torah. And we have to be mind to be yotzei, that's the halacha. But it's interesting, the Ramban is trying to understand what exactly is the mitzvah from the way it's written in Chumash. The Ramban is not 100% sure what exactly is the Torah commanding us. So there's two Rambans I have here for you. Number one, on the psukim themselves in Kiseitse. The Ramban notes that we also have the pasuk there as well, Kiseitse. Zachar Esa She'asa Hashem Okechel Miriam. Not to speak Lashon Hara, remember what happened to Miriam. So there is a sifrei, sifra, that darshins, it means you should be shown it beficha, you have to say it, not thinking. You have to express it. That's, we do it shomei ka'ona. So we listen in as if we said it. Okay, so that's the chazal. Yochab libcha, it says otishkach, that means not to forget in your heart. What's zachor? Shone beficha. And that's what that's the sifra, and then we have the sifrei on this pasuk, the same thing. So the Ramban says, v'lo yodati, Mahi haschira hazuk repeh. What exactly does it mean that we have the obligation to verbalize the remembrance of what happened to Miriam and what happened to Amalek? Im lomar, does it mean shenikra pashas Amalek b'tzibur? We should probably read the section of Amalek v'nimtzeinu lemedim na Torah b'shniya zachor. So that's what we have, a basis in the Torah to what Chazal say, that the second of the four parashios is Parashat Zachar. The yesmach lemikra megillah min haTorah, and that would be a support for mikra megillah, because mikra megillah is also, in other words, an expression of mechias hamolek, remembering what Haman wanted to do. So it's and they supported, and that's connected to the idea of that there's a mitzvah min haTorah, therefore to read the parsha of Amalek. And Mordechai Ve'Esther felt that you can also have that aspect in Kriyas HaMegillah too. There's a dimension of this mitzvah of Zachar in Megillah. Not that you can be Mamish Yotzei, but it's a smach. It's a smach to this idea as well. V'hanocham be'enai, but the Ramban himself is not so sure about that, that's the pshat. I would say the following. Shehu lomar, shelo tishkach masha asa lono molek ad shenimcha eshimol tachas ha'shamayim. We should not forget it until his name is obliterated. Our obligation is, so long as he exists and his name exists, we will never forget what he did to us. What's the beficha? Beficha means that it shouldn't just be something that in our mind we don't forget, but we have to retell it to our children and the generations that follow. And we should tell them, that's why we have a mitzvah of mechias Amalek, because of what he did. And that's with Amalek, and that's true for Miriam as well. It was as part of our, you could say, our bedtime story regimen for the children. We have to include the story of what Amalek did to us to explain and to impart the importance of why we have a mitzvah mechias Amalek, to touch up the mitzvah by explaining the story. And so with Miriam as well. L'saper bo l'doros. Now, why is there a chiddush here in this mitzvah? Because with Miriam especially, maybe you should say, don't tell the story because it reflects on Miriam in a bad way. You don't have to tell everything. The answer is, tziva kosov dafka lo dio ugaloso, to reveal it. So they should realize how strong this yashara of Lashon Hara. They should luchid God of Gorm Ros, Rabbos Vneyad, Moshom Botamid, Hakob Havak Lashon Hara. This is how the Ramban understands the mitzvah of Zachar. And so the Ramban, in his Hasagos to the Sefer Mitzvahs of the Ramban explains what is, there's an assay that the Ramban forgot, and that is the Zechira of telling the story of Miriam over. so that people should know the terrible aver of Lashon Hara. And the Ramban, again, in connection to that, mentions that that's also what you have in Schiras Amalek. Hine kashin staveinu b'schiras masha asalanu Amalek. Kidei ladas, shelo alchinam yimcha Hashem yis'al shmo. That Hashem is not just wants to eradicate his name just for nothing. Rak mechem lasso aleinu, because he has compassion on us. Lin kol macham asha asalanu. V'shelo ha'yori mimenu yis'al, he was not afraid of Hashem. So just as that's a mitzvah b'schiras Amalek, kach nitzdaveinu b'schiras masha asamirim l'yishamnu lashon hara, shelo yavo'enu kacha, we should not have the same thing happen to us. V'chein odarshu. Another pasuk, Zachor Sashek Satz Lashem Kacha Bamidbar. Remember how you sin with the Egel. Yachal B'ribcha. So it says no, it's Altishkach. So Zachor means B'peh. So now what does that mean? How would you carry this over to the Zechira of the Chet of the Egel? Where do you find a kiyum of that, of Zechira B'peh? V'lo yadati mi azhara l'maksif matzma. Maybe it means it's an azhara to those themselves, the people in that generation, Anshidor Amidbar. So it's for them to remember. And what way? So what's the mitzvah there? To remember the Chet HaEgel, namely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not destroy us even after the Chet HaEgel. It says, Ava Rabba Avtanu, Chemo Gdo V'Sera Chamalta Aleinu. So the guy in the city of Yisrael explained, even after the sin of the Egel, Chamalta Aleinu, you showed compassion. That's what Rabban is saying here too. Chesed Elukim, to thank Hashem that even if the Chet HaEgel occurred, still we still exist. So possibly there's a mitzvah we should count as well, that we should tell over the story of the Egel for the sake of expressing Chesed Hashem. So we have all these different Zechiros. You know, there are Sheish Zechiros. So the Magen Avraham brings that when you say the end of the bracha of Ava Rava, there's words that each of those words can allude to those various zechiros. We say at the end, "V'keftanu shimcha gdol sabmes is my merasina yehodos lecha not to speak lashon hara liyachedcha." So we go through how each of the words there toward the end of the bracha of Ava Rava are reflecting a kiyum of zechir b'peh, and that's every day actually. That's in saying she's zechiros every day because the mitzvah can actually play out every day. We assume that the mitzvah is within the span of time of once a year. So we have the takan of Pasha Zachar is a fulfillment of that inyan as well. There are those who say, I know that the Baruch Sha'amar, the Torah Tumimah says it, but I think others before him say it too, that the mitzvah of Pasha Zachar, or Pasha's Para, which is the next week, we have Pasha's Para, which there are those who say it's Doraisa. And the question is, why is it Doraisa? What would be the basis? So there are those who say because of the other pasuk that Ramban is mentioning here, this is Zachor Esa Sheikhtafta Sashem Kacha Bamidbar, to remember the Chet HaEgel. Now, that would mean seemingly to read Pashas Kisisa, but the Engel Chagnusen Sheyisrael Yosem Izeh, even though the Torah says to tell about Miriam, okay, so that's one thing. But to talk about whole Klal Yisrael and to make it a whole thing to read about the terrible Chet HaEgel, but yet we have a mitzvah to remember Chet HaEgel. Whatever the reasons, the Rabban says to remember that Hashem was mechaper on the Chet HaEgel. So how do we do that? How do we fulfill Zohar B'Peh L'Gabi Chet HaEgel? So the answer is by reading Pashas Para. Because Para Duma is considered to be the quote-unquote Kapara for Chet HaEgel. Rashi quotes in the beginning of Chukas from Moshe Darsh and many Ramazin in Pashas Para to how it's a Kapara for Chet HaEgel. Para Tavo Ima Utekaneach Tzoas B'na, Chazal say. Let the mother come and clean up the dirt, the filth of the child of the ego. So therefore, by reading Pasha's Para, we are fulfilling Mitzvah Doraisa, therefore, the Ish Omrim, that's Doraisa, the Magen Avraham quotes, but why so? Because it's a kiyum of the Zachar Sashar Ksafta. But Akopanim, the Ramban is giving you his take on Mitzvah of Zachar. It's the idea of expressing it to our children, not the way we usually assume it's simply coming to shul and hearing it. That's how we hold halacha. The Ramban says it's the idea of telling it over. And the idea behind it is to explain, to justify for ourselves and for our children why we have a mitzvah mechias amalek, why Hashem will obliterate amalek. And so it is with the other sechiras as well, by Miriam, and also possibly by the Chet HaEgel as well. Good Shabbos, everybody.